Jesus, write on my heart everywhere. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me of Jesus, tell me again. How could I weary of hearing it over again, if on his story all of my life depends? Then tell me the story of Jesus. Tell it again and again. Oh, tell the story.
Tell it again.
Oh, tell the story. Fasting alone in the desert. Tell of the days that are past. How our sin was tempted. Yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor. He bore. He who was and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me of Jesus. Tell me again. How could I weary of hearing it over again, if on his story all of my life depends? Then tell me the story of Jesus.
Tell it again and again.
Oh, tell the story.
Tell it again.
Oh, tell the story. Yes, tell the story.
Tell it again.
Oh, tell the story. Of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Then tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so precious, clearer than ever I see. Let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me of Jesus. Tell me again. How could I weary of hearing it over again, if on his story all of my life depends? Then tell me the story of Jesus.
Tell it again and again.
Oh, tell the story.
Tell it again.
Oh, tell the story. Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell it.
That was a blessing. Amen. I enjoyed that immensely. Got a blessing out of it. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. But I do want to say, Brother McDonald, that's the limit of microphones that we have. Amen. So you'll just have to start sharing from here on out. All right. But anyway, wow, that was a good song, man. You know, that the blend on that was so good. It sounded like a recording, didn't it? But my goodness, the message of the song was a blessing. Amen. About the Lord Jesus. Find Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bible today. And good. We're at a good time. I want to really get through this message. I got a lot of material. And I'm going to try to stick to my notes. And I'm just going to ask you to stay with me, please. Stay locked in today, because I'm not going to get to drive this home like I want to until I get to the end. All right? I'm going to drive it when I get to the end. That's really when I want to make the point of the message. Let's stand together in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm just going to, for sake of time, I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll have to look at some more here. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Down to verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. So I want to speak to you this morning on wear your helmet. Wear your helmet. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for the privilege to have church. I want to say thank You for giving the ability and talent to this family to sing like they just did. And they sang for Your honor and Your glory. They only used what You have given them, but they sure have worked at it. And the diligence, Lord, I'm grateful for their diligence to put forth the practice, to put that together so that we could be blessed. Now, Lord, please open our minds, our hearts to the Word of God. And may the devil be... I can't think of a better subject about which to sing right before I speak about Satan than Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the victor. And so now we give this time to You. Help me, I pray, speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Keep your Bible open. It's amazing to see a U.S. Armed Forces soldier dressed in full combat gear. They look like the drawings you would see of ninja warriors. The pieces of equipment that are available to modern-day soldiers to help them in combat, they are amazing in function, and they are many in number. I never served in the military, so that's all foreign to me, but when I see a picture of a modern-day soldier decked out from head to foot in specially designed gear to help protect him in the fight, I think he looks like something that walked out of a creation Hollywood somewhere. I mean, it is absolutely incredible. And I never served in the military, but I am positive that if I was going to combat and my commanding officer told me to go to the equipment room and get what was available, I think I would take everything I could, because I would want to go into the fight completely prepared, fully prepared. Now, that's what Paul encouraged the Ephesian Christians to do in our text. In verse number 10, he's coming down to the end of this letter, and he says in verse number 10, finally. So he's wrapping it all up. This is his conclusion, if you will. And he prepares his last exhortation, beginning in verse 10. He says, be strong in the Lord. And then he says in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God. Paul says, go to the equipment room and get what is available. And folks, the reason he tells us to go to the equipment room and get what is available is because we're going to need it. It's not just for dress, okay? This is not dress parade, okay? You see the pictures of the dress parades every now and again, and the military passing by and showing forth all that they have. And it's just for show, just for dress parade. This is not dress parade. It's because you're going to need it. You're going into war. As a child of God, you're going into war. Look at verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So you're going to go to war, and your enemy is the devil. Verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, do not miss this verse. Please. What does it mean, we wrestle not against flesh and blood? It means our primary battles in life are not humans. I'm flesh and blood. You're flesh and blood. Paul said that's not our warfare. Our warfare is not against human. Look at it. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That what he's got there? The kingdom of evil is aligned against us as children of God. Now, make that point again. Because, folks, we didn't just stop with the devil in verse number 11. Paul went on to talk about principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high place. I'm telling this morning, the kingdom of evil, yes, ruled by Satan, but it is not one being. There are multiplied, who knows how many of these beings. They are aligned against us. The whole thing. Now, child of God, this does not need to scare us, but it should cause us to respect the ability of the enemy to wage war against us. They have the ability, folks. They got it, man. They got what it takes. You know, why does the United States of America, at great cost, provide all the equipment to clothe and arm our soldiers? Because the enemy's pretty substantial. And that's what Paul is saying here. You've got a substantial enemy. And it's not just one being, the devil, because listen, the devil is not omnipresent like God is. Only God is omnipresent. The devil can only be in one place at one time. But it's not just the devil. This is multiplied millions, if you will, this kingdom of evil that's aligned against you. Verse number 13, wherefore, or because of this kingdom of evil that is aligned against you, take unto you the whole armor of God. This is why there is an equipment room. This is why there is armor. Now look, we know the world is our enemy. We know our flesh is our enemy, right? Yeah, we know those things. But people, the armor of God is designed specifically to help us in the war against the kingdom of evil led by the enemy of God, the devil himself. That's what the armor of God is for. Now, there's temptation in the world, and there's temptation with our flesh, but this armor is so that we can withstand against the wiles of the devil. And so these are pieces of equipment designed for defense, and some of these pieces of equipment are designed for offense, but they are all designed to help us stand true as soldiers in the Lord's army, because as soon as you and I got saved, the crosshairs were on our back. Not just our back. Other places as well. Now, unfortunately, there are those who are defeated by the world. And there are those who live in defeat because they are carnal and fleshly. But others are defeated because of the onslaught of the kingdom of evil. And the truth is that God has made it possible for you and me to be victorious against this kingdom of evil that is aligned against us. Okay? He's made it possible for us to be victorious. When it comes to the fight against the kingdom of darkness, one of the reasons some fail is they don't take advantage of the equipment that God has prepared. There are several pieces of equipment. I'm not looking at several, I'm looking at one. I want to focus today on one piece of equipment that's found in verse number 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Now let me tell you what this does not mean. And by the way, I'm specific this morning, so stay specific with me. I'm talking about our warfare against the kingdom of evil that is aligned against us. That's what I'm talking about. The kingdom of evil aligned against us as children of God. And God said, I've made this armor room available for you, all this equipment. Go by and take as much. You take all of it. Don't leave a piece behind. And be sure and take the helmet of salvation. Now, this does not mean putting on the helmet of salvation makes you saved. That's not what he's talking about. Paul is talking to people who are saved. Look at verse number 10 again. Finally, what's the next word? Brethren. He's talking to saved people. So he's writing to saved people. No, because you are saved, there is a helmet that you can wear. A helmet to protect a very important part, your head. The seat of your thoughts. And that's incredibly important because ultimately your thoughts affect your emotions, your feelings, and inevitably your choices. Soldiers wear helmets. Soldiers in Bible days, soldiers in the days that this was written, wore helmets. Soldiers knew that a blow to the chest could be fatal, so they had breastplates to protect their vital organs. But soldiers also knew that a blow to the head could be fatal, so they wore helmets to protect their heads. And you know, the enemies wielded swords. Some of the swords were short, and they would use those short swords to stab and to thrust and to pare and to cut. But they would use those long swords, those 3-foot long, 3-foot to 3 and 4 foot long swords. They would swing those. I'm not telling you that you don't know. And one swing of that sword down on a soldier's head could smash his head, split it open, cut his head off. So that sword was a very dangerous weapon. So that's why Paul said, that's why they wore helmets. And that's why Paul says to you and me, put your helmet on. Paul is not saying, hey, you need to be a Christian in order to go to war, so put on this helmet of salvation. That's not what he's... Look, folks, they already have been given a breastplate of righteousness. They've already been given a girdle of truth. Their feet have already been shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They already have a shield of faith. You wouldn't have all that if you weren't already saved. So he is telling saved people, you need the helmet of salvation for your protection. You need the helmet of salvation to protect you from the kingdom of evil that is aligned against you. And Paul called it the helmet of salvation. You say, okay, Pastor, what more light can you give us? How does this helmet of salvation help protect us? Turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you're getting new to your Bible, turn to the right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to see another reference that will help us understand a little bit more about this helmet of salvation. Stick with me, please. I think you're with me so far, right? Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just don't get lost, okay? Concentrate, mentally stay with me this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 8. Paul again is writing. He says, but let us who are of the day... You can stop right there. Who's he talking to? Saved people. Folks, when you got saved, you moved from being a child of darkness to a child of light. So, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So the helmet we wear is not a literal metal or leather helmet. The helmet we wear is our hope of salvation. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't sound too encouraging. We wear the hope of salvation into battle against the devil and his kingdom of darkness, like we hope we're going to make it through. We hope we're going to reach the end. We hope we're going to be saved. No, no, no. Remember, the word hope has a different meaning then in Bible times, using the Word of God, than how it is used today. Today, hope is used as a wish or a desire. We hope, yesterday, we hoped it wouldn't rain. Guess how that turned out? Some people hope that the Bears win. They hope that the Bulls win, the Blackhawks win, the Chicago fans. Now, sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're sad. But they have no control over it, right? Because that's a hope, that's a wish or a desire. We can hope that it doesn't rain tomorrow, but we have no control over that because we can't hold back the clouds. So there may be joy or sorrow depending on just how it turns out. But friend, that's not the way the Bible word hope is used. The Bible uses the word hope this way: a favorable and confident expectation. Let me explain. The coming of Christ is called the blessed hope. Now, is that a wish or a desire? Well, sure it is, but that's not all it is. Because if the coming of Christ is only a wish or a desire, then either we're going to be sad or happy, depending on how it turns out. That's not how it is with the coming of Christ. He's coming. That's happening. Okay? We know it. We are favorably and confidently assured that Jesus is coming. Our blessed hope. So here is what the helmet, the hope of salvation is, folks. And here, now I'm going to get down to the part of the message that I really want to drive this home. We are confident and full of expectation as to the fullness of our salvation. We are confident and full of expectation as to the fullness of our salvation. Why do we need that? Because we're going into war. We're going into battle against an enemy who hates us and hates our Savior and hates our God. And if we don't have the helmet of the hope of salvation, it's going to be tough for us in the battle against an enemy who knows our weakness. The hope of salvation, this helmet, this hope of salvation, is the confident and full expectation as to the fullness of our salvation. You say, all right, let me take you through it here, and I think it'll become a little bit more clear if it's not already. Number one, we got saved. All right? We got saved. Now, I hope that's true about you. If you got saved, there was a day, there was a time, there was a moment when you got saved. Listen carefully. You did not and you cannot grow into it. You cannot. You cannot and you did not inherit it. You cannot and did not earn it. If you got saved, it's because you received the free gift of eternal life that was purchased for you through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection. And you don't grow into that. Now, I want some of you to listen. You have a moment in time that is the time of your birth. I'm talking about your physical birth. You have a moment in time. It's stamped on your birth certificate. Cha-ching. That's the moment you were born into this world. You have a moment in time when you entered this life physically. You have a moment in time. If you're saved, you have a moment in time that you were birthed into the family of God. Now, hang on. You may not remember that exact moment. But there was a moment. If you're saved, there was a moment when you were birthed into the family of God. I want everybody to listen very, very carefully. Over the years here at the church and talking with people that come to church and I go to visit or meet them out visiting, I talk to people and the testimony of some's salvation is troubling to me. Now, I can't be the judge, but it just troubles me. And the reason it troubles me is because it's too generic. Well, I just feel like I've always known the love of God. Well, I just feel like I've always, you know, believed in God. Never since I was a little child, I believed in Jesus. Folks, those are all wonderful things to believe and to experience. None of them make you saved. None of them make you saved. Feelings and things that you think you just knew all your life do not line up with the Bible definition of being a child of God. You become a child of God because you're born into His family. And you get born into His family by trusting lock, stock, and barrel in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me carefully. It doesn't matter what kind of emotions you were experiencing when you put your faith in Jesus. You may have been happy. You may have been sad. You may have been weeping. You may have been smiling. You may have been unemotional. It's not your emotion that saves you. It's your faith. But your faith can't be just generic and this great big, you know, thing that just has this big old wide circumference that just takes in everything. And I've just been all my life taught so well and so loved, and here I am. No, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. I don't care if you smile, frown, clap, shout. Yeah, I told you about Abraham William. He's been here a few times over the years, a guy from India. When I witnessed, I don't have time to go into that story in great detail. When I witnessed to him in Iowa City the year the Challenger space shuttle blew up. What was that, 86? I witnessed to him up there. He's a PhD working at the University of Iowa. Don't you know your, here's what the Bible says about being a sinner. Yes, sir. Yeah, do you know? Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. And Jesus, and this is the separation in hell. Yep, okay. And Jesus died. Oh, wow, okay. Yes, and yes, and oh, yes, yes. No, I believe that. Yes, do you want to trust Christ? Yes, I do. Do you want to? Okay, yes, sir. No emotion. No smile. No nothing. I thought, well, he didn't get it. He's been in church. He's in church this morning. That's 31 years ago. Is that 31 years ago? Yeah, 86, 30, over 31 years now. Folks, it's not how you felt. It's who you put your faith in. It's who you put your faith in. Maybe you put your faith in Jesus happy. Maybe you put your faith in Jesus sad. Maybe you put your faith in Jesus with great expectation. Maybe you put your faith in Jesus with just the size, faith the size of a mustard seed. Maybe it was like that man who said to the Lord, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. But it was enough that he got saved, because it's not the emotion that makes you saved. It's the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm troubled when people talk about their emotions and their upbringing and their beliefs, and it never gets around to, on this day, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Are you with me? You get saved. You get saved by trusting Christ. Number two, we got saved. Now you stay with me on this. We got saved past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. Let me talk about salvation past. In the Bible, salvation past is called justification. What does that mean, Brother Terry? Justification is that moment that you were born again into God's family. When you got saved, you got justified. In God's eyes, you can now say, it's just as if I'd never sinned. I'm justified. The Bible talks about that all through the New Testament. Justified freely by His grace. Being justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified. This is why it's important, folks, for you to have a knowledge that there was a time when you trusted Christ. Because you don't get justified through this generic little upbringing. You get justified when you get saved, and you get saved when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just as if you'd never sinned. You say, Pastor Angel, have you ever sinned? Huh. Come on. But in His sight, I can't explain it any more than how I'm telling it to you right now. In His sight this morning, I am just as if I had never sinned. Because I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when He looks at me, He doesn't see me. He sees the righteousness of Christ. That's salvation past. It happened the moment you got saved. You were justified. But then, there's what's called salvation present. That's sanctification. That is what is going on in our lives right now. In our lives right now, we are being delivered. We are being saved from sin's power. It has lost its death grip on us, and we don't have to live in sin any longer. We don't have to obey sin. And that is the result of being saved. We're sanctified. We don't have to drink alcohol. We have been delivered, saved from the power of alcoholic drink. We don't have to tell lies. We are saved and being saved from the power of telling a lie. We don't have to do drugs. We are delivered and saved and being saved from the power that drugs has over us. We don't have to be bitter. We have been delivered and saved from the power of bitterness. Folks, I'm simply saying that our salvation is present tense. It's not only past tense. We got saved. We are saved now. We are being delivered every day from the power of sin that sin's power has over us. I'm not going to get into detail this morning. I'm embarrassed by it. But I can stand up here and give testimony and talk about how I could not quit some habits before I got saved. And after I got saved, I walked away from them. That's the power that's in Christ. Sanctification. We got saved, past, present. We are presently being saved from sin's power. Sanctification is salvation changing me from day to day. You say, Pastor, since I've been saved, it just seems like I don't have near the trouble that I used to have with fill in the blank. Listen, brother and sister, that's not due to my power or your power. That's due to His power. That's not power found in a pill or a bottle. That's His power. That's the power of God's grace that delivers us. Salvation past, salvation present, salvation future. That's glorification. Glorification is when we see Jesus and we receive our glorified, saved bodies. That's what I was talking to you folks in our class about this morning. We're going to give away. We're going to get out of these old bodies that are sin-cursed one of these days. We're going to have a glorified body. And that will happen to us someday when we see Jesus. Now, people, here is the truth about when you got saved and when I got saved. And I want everybody to give me your ear 100%. From the moment we received Christ to the moment we enter heaven, our salvation is secure. From the moment we trust Christ to the moment we enter heaven, our salvation is secure. It's sealed up, locked, stock, and barrel. There are no holes. There are no loopholes. We are His. We belong to Christ. Salvation has happened to us. Salvation is happening to us. And salvation will happen to us. And you know what Hebrews 6:19 calls this? Hope. See, Hebrews 6:19 calls this an anchor of the soul. I didn't know we were going to sing the song this morning. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the... You see that word in your hymn book? It had an uppercase R. That's Jesus Christ. Now listen very carefully. We got saved. When we got saved past, present, and future. Number three, we wear the helmet, the hope of salvation, into battle. Now people, here it is. This is the crux of the message right here. And it's not much longer. Satan will try over and over again to rattle us. He will try to cause us to doubt. He will try to shake us about our salvation. This is warfare. It's warfare. Pastor, why do I have trouble with the assurance of my salvation? Why do I have trouble? Why do I have sometimes dark thoughts? Why do sometimes things overwhelm me? This is warfare. This is not dress parade. This is warfare. This is battle. This is fight. This is dog versus dog in the trench. Combat, folks. Do you get the picture? That's why Paul said, put on the armor of God. You're going to need the whole armor of God. So in order, Satan tries to order us, rattle us. He tries to shake us. He tries to make us doubtful. So the Lord said, in order to prevent being rattled and being doubtful and being shaken, we put on the confident assurance that we belong to Him. The confident assurance. I belong to Christ. I trusted Him. My salvation is past, present, and future. From the moment I trusted Him as my Savior until the moment I walked through that pearly gate, my salvation is secure in Christ. It's not secure in me. It's secure in Christ. In order to prevent being rattled, in order to prevent being doubtful, in order to prevent being shaken, we put on the confident assurance that we belong to Him. And in Jesus, our salvation is complete, past, present, and future. And we wear that into battle. And it helps us defeat the sure blows that are going to come. I will say it again. The blows are going to come. The blows are going to come. I'll say it again. The blows are going to come. And they come, and they come. Boom! And they come, and they come, and they come. And if you're not wearing your helmet, you're going to have trouble. If you're not anchored in Christ, if you're not anchored in your faith in Christ, dude, but I hope I can. It's not yours. It's His. It's His. You gave your eternal destiny to the Lord Jesus, trusting lock, stock, and barrel only in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His, folks. Trust in Him. Rest in Him. Enjoy the fullness, the completeness of your salvation. Because when you got saved, it wasn't partial. It was past, present, and future. The blows are coming. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And Satan and the kingdom of darkness will try to pound us and pound us and pound us with doubt and uncertainty and shake us. Folks, can you imagine? I don't know. Some of these guys were in combat. I cannot imagine going into combat not confident in my equipment, my weapon. You're going into combat. You're going to get whacked. Are you listening? It's not going to be roses all the time. You're going to get whacked. And you're going to get pounded. And the Satan, the kingdom, and the kingdom of darkness, they'll pound us with doubt and with uncertainty. And friend, that doubt and that uncertainty can be overwhelming to the soul. Overwhelming. But the Bible says the hope of our salvation is an anchor of the soul. It's an anchor. And when the devil comes and tries to plow my head in two with doubt, you know how I respond? I do not respond by saying, I sure hope that I had the right feeling when I got saved. I don't say that. I'm saved. I put my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, lock, stock, and barrel, wholly complete. I have no questions about it because it's not mine. It's His work. It's His. It's not my work. It's His work. He did all the work. I don't know if I'm making any sense or not. I'll just say this, friend. If you believe that you can lose your salvation, then you will be ill-equipped to engage in the battle. And here's why. Every little problem or setback you have will become a horrendous pit of despair to you. Horrendous pit of despair. I cannot live my life in fear. I cannot. Some of you, every reversal, every time you get sick, every time you have a setback, is God mad at me? Is God taking away my salvation? Am I really saved? I will repeat myself again. This is war. This is war. And we have a real enemy. And there are going to be reversals, and there are going to be setbacks, and there's going to be sickness, and there's going to be things that don't go right. And if every time that happens, your salvation is rattled, you're going to have a tough time, folks. Put that confident assurance, that helmet, that hope of salvation. I'm wearing this into battle. What is this? This is the confident assurance that Jesus is my Savior and my salvation is complete in Him. And if I get whacked, if I get cut, if I suffer a setback in this battle, I'm still saved. Turn over to the last book in your Bible. It's next to last book. Turn over to the book of Jude. Turn over to the book of Jude. Turn over to the book of Jude. Jude chapter. Well, chapter. There's only one chapter in Jude. Good night. Jude chapter. I said it again. Jude verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and, what's that English word? Does not say preserved in the fact that when I got saved I felt good. Doesn't say preserved in the fact, you know, when I got saved, I smiled. Or I was sad and I cried. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Now drop down to verse number 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Whoop, time out. Faultless, just as if I'd never sinned. That's justification. That happened when? The moment I got saved. He is able to present me faultless before the... So, the presence of His glory... So, before God, someday, Christ is going to present me faultless, just as if I'd... Oh, you mean I never lost it? You mean the whole way through? In spite of setbacks? In spite of reversals? In spite of times when my heart got cold? In spite of times when I feel like I didn't even love God? In spite of all that, my salvation so wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ that through all of the setbacks and reversals and all the ups and downs and all the victories and defeats, how He saved me is how He's able to present me. Put your helmet on. Put your helmet on. Your helmet is not your feelings. Did I smile? Did I laugh? Your helmet is the fact that, look, you've got confident assurance in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And you're going into battle and there's going to be setbacks. But hallelujah, glory to God, He's able to keep us all the way through to the end. Woo! Sure. Absolutely. Maybe that's why the songwriter wrote, when darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. I'm battered, I'm beaten, I'm blown about by the kingdom of evil. Principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness pounding and pounding. Oh, but I've got an anchor of the soul. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm not trying to talk you into being saved this morning. But I'm here to tell you this. There's a time in your life when, in sincerity, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you smiled, laughed, grunted, or shouted. When you put it in Christ, He took it. And He ain't letting go of you. Whether you like it or not. You're His. And the one who's just justified you the moment you got saved is the one someday who's going to present us in that same condition. Faultless. You put that helmet on and go to battle. You may have a few setbacks. You may have a few reversals. But you'll have an anchor. You'll have an anchor. So, Pastor, I've been really, really struggling. What do I do? Rest in Christ. Rest in Christ. Rest in Him. Ladies, when you come to the instruments, I want you to find the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Before we pray, are you saved? You can't grow into it. You can't morph into it. You've got to have a salvation experience when you trust in Christ. And now once you're saved past, present, and future, put that helmet on and go to battle. Folks, listen. I've been trying to help people for 37 plus years now. And I'm here to tell you that even the best can be attacked by the kingdom of darkness. In this one area. And overwhelmed with, oh no, am I saved? The very best. I'm here to tell you that when you trusted Christ, it's a complete and full salvation. Past, present, and future. Father in heaven, would you please take your word today? Somebody else could have preached it a whole lot better. I just want to lift my voice publicly to heaven this morning and rejoice, oh God, in the full salvation you gave us in Christ. And oh God, may we rest in it. And I pray for the brother or sister who struggles with it. And Lord, they get weary of struggling with it, and it's a discouraging thing. It's disheartening. I pray for victory in the hope of salvation, that beautiful helmet that you give us to wear. It protects our thoughts, our feelings. And when the devil surrounds us and attacks, help us to run to Christ. Remember where we stand, not on some feeling, but on the rock that is higher than us. Reach down this morning and do a good work in our hearts and lives, I pray. We'll thank you for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking. Wonder this morning in the invitation who would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. There was that time. I can tell you about it. I may not remember the exact year, day, month, but I know the time. I remember it. And I can see it in my mind's eye or hear it in my mind's eye, my mind's ear. I know I'm saved. Would you slip your hand this morning in the air as testimony of it? God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. If you can't do that, would you be honest enough to say, Pastor, I can't do that. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? I can't know. I don't know that. Anybody like that in the room today? All right, this will be a little bit more difficult question. Pastor, something that was said today, I believe I can take home with me and help me. I want to wear my helmet. Something that was said this morning, I believe the Spirit of God said to my heart something specific that will help me, I believe, because of the message, the truth from God's Word this morning. Would you slip your hand in the air wherever you're sitting? God bless you. Amen. Amen. There's lots of hands up. If you need to be baptized, obey the Lord in that step. Now's the time to come while we wait. If you need to join the church when the invitation begins, you come as well. But child of God, maybe you just need to visit the altar this morning. My heart's tender. And just rejoice the full salvation that's in Christ Jesus. That the one who saved you from the moment He justified you is able to present you faultless before the throne of His Father. Rejoice in it and rest in it. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're playing that song, The Solid Rock, as they play together.